Penn Jillette on the Free FM CBS radio. And Godot, did you read the papers today?
I did.
You did? I don't give a good goddamn about anything. I am so sick of
everything.
None of it
interests you?
I am sick of international. I am sick of national. I am sick of everything. Everything, every news story, I don't care about. I don't want to put a subject up. I don't want to do any human interest. What I want to do, and this is a very, you know, I always like doing these shows. I think today's show is going to be Ask Layperson Penn.
Oh, really?
I want to get any call you, 866-570-PEN, 7366. Any question you want to ask us, anything about anything, we will answer. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com, PennRadio@gmail.com. Penn has two N's, PennRadio.com. Just call us up. We'll answer any question you have, or we'll give it a try. Now, I want to make this very clear up front, I am not a doctor. I have no education. I have no qualifications whatsoever to do this job. Neither do you.
None.
You don't know.
Not at all.
So the advice we're giving is that of one lay person to another. Imagine you're at Starbucks and there's a couple of creepy old guys at the next table and you have a personal problem and you lean over and ask them to get their advice. Just imagine that those guys that are, sucking down the venti at Bucky's, those two guys.
at four bucks.
Yeah, the guys that you're getting your advice from. But first, any questions you have for me?
People could call in with juggling questions. I think that's something we could answer.
Nobody has a juggling question. The other night,
well, that's why I brought it up. I thought it would save us some time.
Someone came to the show last night and said, "My son is really into juggling."
And you said, "Kill him now!"
I said, "Kill him now!" No, get to guitar so he has a chance of getting laid at some point in his life.
I think jugglers make more money than guitarists.
On the average, you think?
On the average.
Yeah. Well, who are you counting as a juggler and who are you counting as? Are you counting anyone that can do three balls? Are you counting anyone that can play an E chord?
No. I'm talking about people who do it as a profession.
As a profession.
As a wedding juggler and a wedding guitarist, I think you make more money as a wedding
and you average
juggler.
But you also have to figure into average. You have to figure in Eric Clapton.
Oh, yeah, that does.
Eddie Van Halen. There's some guitar players make some good money. And where's your list of jugglers up in that income?
Well, there are only eight.
It's only eight. But you think that the aggregate.
I think the aggregate juggler, yes. I think your average juggler, a working juggler, makes more than your average working guitar
player. But all jugglers working and all guitar players working.
Well, there's only. Yeah.
All guitar players make more if you add it at all. So I told her, she said she had trouble finding clubs for her son. So she was considering beating him to death. And I told her to go to jasongarfield.com.
Really?
Because Jason has all the juggling equipment there, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Any juggling question you have, the answer is go to jasongarfield.com. So the calls just went away there. Let's talk to... I'm going to take... I made a promise, and I'm going to stick to it. I will answer any question you ask.
Garfield Let's has equipment. He does.
He does have a website.
He does.
He has juggling equipment, doesn't he?
Get the world's finest juggling equipment here.
JasonGarfield.com for all your juggling needs. I think Jason at some point should pick up the check.
At least lunch.
At least lunch. Something. Here we go. Let's talk to Tony. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, hey, Dr. Penn. I have a question.
It's actually a layperson, Penn, but go on.
I've seen your show a couple of times. I've seen you on TV. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, years ago, you used to have a movie. Many, many years ago, it was Atlantic City at the end. I don't remember the name.
We did a movie called Penn and Teller Get Killed. We've actually been in four or five movies, but that's the movie that we wrote, directed, produced, and helped bring right into the toilet. Yeah, Penn and Teller Get Killed.
My question is, why doesn't Teller talk?
Now, this is the reason for doing Layperson Penn. This is a question that I have been answering now for 30 years, and I usually just kind of shrug it off. But since it's Ask Layperson Penn Day, and I said I'd answer anything, I'll answer this. Teller does talk. In every performance we do, Teller does talk in some way. During the show now, we do a thing called the knife throwing, where in the beginning of it, while I'm throwing knives around, an audience member, Teller comes over, has a chat with me, the audience can hear what he's saying. He also does an entire monologue during the show while the chipper shredder is on, so you can't hear him at all. In our movie, as you know, he does the monologue at the end after I'm dead. Sorry to ruin it for you, but none of you are going to see it anyway. So he does talk in everything we do. Teller is perfectly capable of talking, and after every show, we're out in the lobby talking to folks. Teller will talk to anybody and answer anything. He talks very much. Teller's character talks a lot less than me. That's also true for Michael Godot, and it's true for you, Tony. But Teller began...
Are you starting to figure this out, Tony? Have you tried to get a word in?
I can't get a word in. That's okay.
See?
Exactly my point. Teller started his career in show business by putting himself through college doing magic at frat parties. Now, I've forgotten what circle of Dante's hell that is, but it's very close. So he would go to frat parties for drunken frat boys, and he would come out doing his little magic show. Now, he tried when people would heckle him, you know, because they're all feeling up their girlfriends and throwing beer at him and stuff. Of course, the show you really want to know is the Cub Scout show he did when he was younger, when he was pelted with candy until he had to leave the stage. But Teller would do these shows talking at frat parties. And the frat boys would throw beer at him and heckle him the whole time. And he would try to come back to them. And he wasn't particularly good at it. Teller is very articulate, very erudite, one of the most intelligent people I've ever met, and a wonderful, wonderful talker. He really is. But under pressure, being yelled at by frat boys, he wasn't that good. So he decided that if he shut up and did really creepy stuff, that people would get sick of heckling him. So his major act when he was doing the frat parties at Amherst College in Massachusetts, which is why we know each other, when he the act that he would do, and the act that he still does occasionally, if you come to see Penn and Teller at the Rio in Vegas, and one of the acts goes bad, like if something falls apart and isn't going to work, one of two things will happen. One is I'll come out and do a long monologue about fire eating and then do some fire eating. And if something goes wrong that I'm indisposed, Teller will come out and do this act that he's been doing since he was in college, which is called the needles, and is based on a trick that Houdini did, that Houdini got from East Indian street magicians. And originally it was done by taking a dozen needles and a horsehair thread, swallowing the needles and the thread, and then vomiting up the needles. Horsehair. Houdini made it a bigger deal by using 100 needles and regular thread, and then Teller something which was a full mouth examination without Teller's hands in his mouth. A dentist mirror and a flashlight. So Teller swallows right in people's faces 100 size number 6 embroidery needles. He swallows them, then he lets people in the audience with a flashlight and a dentist poke around all they want, and they really can poke around all they want because there's not a goddamn thing in his mouth. Anytime we let you examine something, it's because there's nothing to find. And then he makes some disgusting noises and moves, and then you see one piece of thread coming out of his mouth, and then he starts to pull it with his hand wide empty, wide open. He starts to pull it, and one by one, each needle falls out of his mouth, and all 100 needles are threaded on like a necklace, this necklace from hell coming out of his stomach. And that trick, when he would do it in front of drunken frat boys feeling up their girlfriends, they would stop throwing beer and say, "What a goddamn creep. What the hell is wrong with him?" And that's what launched his career. Now, a lot of that trick is dependent on not talking. And when I first met Teller, I saw him do the needles. I was still in high school. He was a high school teacher. I saw him do the needles, and I helped get him a gig in Minnesota at a Renaissance Festival. And the two of us were two separate acts on the same bill, and we wanted to do an act together, and we had to maintain the integrity of Teller's solo act, where he wasn't talking. I was also working very rough environments when I was in high school with the same drunken people heckling me, and I came back louder and meaner than them, which is why Teller's voice, at whatever age he is, in his 50s, is clear like a bell and beautiful, and I sound like a gargle with turpentine because I've been screaming at a lot of people for a lot of years. So that is the answer to why Teller doesn't talk. You got that?
Well, I always thought that you couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Absolutely. That's the other reason. Or, absolutely. It works out perfectly. Thanks so much, Tony. You've got your last word in. That's also because I'll hang up on him.
How many smart-ass answers do you have when people ask you that question?
I just have a million of them.
Let me hear three. Why doesn't Teller talk?
He doesn't. He talks to everybody but you.
Okay,
he only doesn't talk to you.
Why doesn't Teller talk?
He is talking right now. Look over there.
Why doesn't Teller talk?
Because he only speaks in obscenity.
Well, there you go.
And when he was on Jon Stewart, that's what he did. What he'll usually say is if anybody in any situation goads him enough, he will say "F you." I'm using the radio term for that, but that's what he says. And, you know, they'll do really mean stuff to him. Like when we were playing on Broadway, he'd be walking down toward the Deuce, you know, down around Times Square. And a cop, and this happened like more than once, cop comes up to him and goes, excuse me, could I see some ID? And Teller reaches in his pocket to get his wallet and goes, but I don't understand. They go, ah, 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 made you talk. And then you got cops dancing around pointing at you. And he gets that all the time. He goes into like, you know, he goes into Mickey D's and orders a fish burger. And they go, aha, heard you talk. Like it's some sort of challenge. But Teller,
Teller's life is somewhat hellish. I traveled with him to Australia, and not having a first name is a huge, hairy deal when you go through customs.
Yeah, NFN.
Yeah.
NFN. It says NFN Teller. And he's one of the very few people to have no first name in his passport.
Yeah.
There's like five people in the country. And the other ones aren't Cher. It's not Madonna. They both have last names. It's not Prince. He has a last name. Yeah, but I don't know who the other ones are. But it's like five people with American passports with no first name. And Teller is one of them. And so the no first name and not talking, his life is hell. But when we were touring, we were on the road for 30 years, you know. I would get up at 5 a.m. after doing a show that finished at 11 and then traveling till 2 or 3 in the morning. I would get up at 5 a.m. to go talk to DJs in the morning with no sleep. And I'd be coming back to the hotel, you know, to pimp the show, to get people to whatever town we were in, to get them to come to the show. And Teller would be, you know, I'd be coming in like at 11 o'clock, dead tired. And I'd see Teller coming down and going, yeah, I just, I heard the last thing you did on the radio is pretty funny. I was asleep for most of the time. So that's where the payback comes. And there's this thing that every DJ did. And if you wonder why people hate morning DJs, this is absolutely true. This happened probably a dozen times, maybe 20 times. I'd go to a radio station, and there'd be the DJ sitting there. And of course, this is like 5 or 6 in the morning, okay? I went to bed at 3, and this jerk, you know, had been going to sleep at 8 or 9 for his whole life. So he's up, and he's chipper, and he's ready to do that, hey, how you doing? This is blah, 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 you know, that one, what they call the radio business, puking. You know, the, oh, hey, how you doing? This is Big Al on the, you know, just horrible.
On the morning drive show.
Yeah. And I'd come in, and I would come in, and I would be looking, you know, like Lenny Bruce in, you know, 64. You know, just totally wrecked from doing these one-nighters and not sleeping at all. And he'd go, you know, Pan, I was in the shower this morning, and I had this great idea for a bit. You know, Teller doesn't talk. You know, Teller doesn't talk. Teller doesn't talk at all. Well, I'm going to just say, when we bring you on, that we have both Penn and Teller in the studio, okay? I'm going to say both Penn and Teller are in the studio. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you a little bit, and then I'll say, and I've got a question for Teller. And then I'll ask him what it's like being on the road, okay? What is it like being on the road? And I'll look right at, you know, Teller won't be here, of course, because he's not here. But I'll say, hey, Teller, what's it like being on the road? And he won't say anything. It'll be just silence on the air. And we'll play that up. We'll just do a little thing. You know, Teller doesn't talk. This is the idea I had here in the morning. And I go, yeah, okay, cool. It's like, cool, very cool. And then it would come to the day, you know, we'd come out of commercial and he'd go, yeah, I've got Penn here. How's it like? What's it like on the road? And I'd go, it's hell. I have to talk to people like you. And he'd go, ha, 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 ha. And what's it like? Teller's here in the studio too. What's it like, Teller? And then he would do the most insulting thing possible. He would hold one hand up right in my face and the other hand he'd make the shh. Simple, right? Because he doesn't think I understand the goddamn gag. He doesn't think I understand the gag because he's in Good Morning, you know, dog crap Indiana doing his stupid little radio show, and he doesn't think I understand the goddamn joke. So what do you think, Teller? What's it like being on the road? So I would always, and I did this, I mean, this is like a dozen times. And I told this story, and people thought I was exaggerating, and then people on the road with us would notice guys would do this, and they would still do it now. He'd go, shh, shh, shh. I'd go, what are you doing, man? Teller's not here. What are you doing holding up your hand and making the shush sound? He's not even in the studio. He's asleep. What are you talking about? And he'd go, well, you got me, you old debunker. That's what they do. You know, they explode myths. And they'll be tonight at the Cashman saying, no, they do the whole rest of around. But that would happen. So when you have a partner who doesn't speak, it's not only hell on him It's also hell on you. I had to get up early
poor
in the morning.
Baby.
And I had to talk to them. Yeah.
Poor baby.
Yeah, what do you
it's
mean?
Been tough. I'm sorry.
You made a very good
point. I'm just sorry.
You make a very good point, Godot. Whenever someone says things in show business are tough, they're a liar. There are emergency room doctors. There are coal miners. There are executive secretaries that on any given day when things are going well, work harder than I have the worst day of my life. You cannot have a hard job in show business, and I agree with that completely. So you're right. To ridicule me for complaining about that, you are 100% right. This is Layperson Pence. You asked one question. One question. It's taking a long time. Let's take, want to take another call?
We should take a call.
Or want to take a Gmail?
We can do either one. We have a good Gmail.
Okay.
I hate my job. What do you two think about career counselors? Are they bogus, or can they really help you?
No, you answer that one.
Bogus.
Bogus.
Thanks. Bye. Did I get it right?
I think so. I think that's right. I think, although I've never been to one of you.
You know, in high school, they had one in our career room, and they had sheets of paper where you could go through and pick like a whole list of careers. And there were two that I was really interested in. The first one was tire vulcanizer, and the second was purse seine tuna fishing. And I thought tuna fishing would be a pretty good career for me.
What's the word you said before?
Purse seine, which I'm not even sure if it's pronounced properly. I've always only seen it written and only at the career office. But tuna fishing, so.
What's purse seine, though?
That's a type of net. That's the type of net that a fisherman, tuna fisherman would use that would kill dolphins. I wanted to kill dolphins. I've always liked the sea. Here I am turning into Jimmy Buffett. and I thought, you know what? Tuna fishing, that's pretty good. I won't have to sit behind a desk. I'll be outside all day. It'll be great.
And did you pursue those?
No, I did not, because in order to be a purse seine tuna fisherman, you needed to get you need to go through the Naval Academy.
Oh, really? Naval Academy?
Naval Academy was what their suggestion was, and you have to get a recommendation from your congressman. And only
to be a tuna fisher?
Yeah, to go through this. Okay, I was ugly.
And what about tire vulcanite?
Well, like, turned out I could do that. And I had all the skills required.
What attracted you to that?
It was outdoors. Same thing.
What do you do outdoors?
Actually, I didn't really like... Okay, I'm going to confess. I didn't really like the tire vulcanizer, but I liked the name tire vulcanizer.
Was just a joke?
It was not.
You were playing
when I was in high school, I liked that idea.
You liked that idea.
Now that I'm an adult, I realize, I didn't really want to be a tire vulcanizer.
Why? Is it outdoors, tire vulcanizing?
No, it's indoors. It's
then why'd you say it was outdoors?
I don't know.
This is not lie to Penn.
Well, you know what?
This is not lie to layperson.
It was something that I thought I could do. I am a juggler for a living, and there's a damn good reason for that. I have no skills.
What does the tire vulcanizer do?
I add sulfur to rubber, as far as I can tell. To try to get the right consistency to make
what do you mean try to get the right? They know the consistency. They've been making tires. It's not like you're going to go in and they're going to go, hey, figure out how to make these tires vulcanized.
Maybe I'd be the first guy.
I mean, you didn't go to high school in, 1840?
Pretty close to that.
They're going, we got this rubber. How do we, what is vulcanizing anyway?
I believe it's the tempering of rubber so that it lasts longer.
Because rubber, just when it comes out of the rubber trees.
Crumbly.
Isn't it just a, it's like a sap, isn't
it's
it?
It's sap, yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about rubber here.
Maybe someone will call and correct us on all of these.
866-570-PEN, that's 7366. You just found out why Kelly doesn't talk on the free FM. This is Penn Fraser Gillette. We'll be back after this. Yeah, this is Penn Gillette here on the free FM, 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio and PennRadio.com is where you can go. That music is by the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra, and I'm playing bass there.
I really like that version, too.
That's a really nice one. It's a really nice, I think it's Lon Bronson. Is that Lon Bronson
that's
playing?
That's got to be Lon Bronson.
Horn? Yeah. Sounds good. And,
flugelhorn.
Actually, I think it's a flugelhorn or is it muted trumpet? I don't know which. But anyway, you can find out a lot about Mike Jones on PennRadio.com. We got a lot of calls to get to. We'll get to that. But I also got a little note here. Penn, on a previous show, you had mentioned how you don't have any facial recognition recall, that you don't even recognize your mother after one of your shows. This just fascinates the hell out of me. So does your wife have to introduce herself to you every night when you come to bed? If she wasn't in the mood and sent someone else instead, would you realize it wasn't her? Sharon. Are you applying for the job, Sharon? Because you can talk to my wife. Just drop an email at penradio@gmail.com, and you can try that experiment. You get yourself to Vegas, you can try that experiment. Just send it to Michael Goudeau. You can set that up with my wife, can't you?
I can, yeah.
We can do this. I mean, we believe in this show and getting empirical.
Double blind testing,
so I don't know. I don't know what you look like. My wife is, 39 or 40. What is she, do you know?
12.
12. No, she's 39 or 40. And she's kind of strawberry blonde.
A lovely
woman. And athletic build. And I remember that much. I can describe her. So maybe you could fool me. You might have to put some freckles on. But give it a try, Sharon. Drop us an email, and we'll see. Maybe we can switch you in. Maybe we can slide you in and let me know the difference. I do not have no wow. I do not have no facial recognition. That's a grammatically correct sentence. It's not that I have no facial recognition. I have very poor facial recognition. If I meet someone out of context, I do not recognize them. If I were visiting Boston and I were walking down the street and I had no idea you were there and you walked by me, I certainly would recognize you on the street. Once you said Penn and giggled, I'd recognize you instantly. My mother was at a show in Boston that we were doing, and she came to see the show the night before I thought she was going to come see the show. She came a night early to see the show, and afterwards I was talking to folks and was asked to sign a few autographs, and I was doing that, and my mom came up and handed me a program from that show and said, would you sign this? I don't think she said anything. She handed it to me. I took the program. I signed it. I looked her in the eye like I try to do when I meet people. Looked her directly in the eye, handed back the program, and she said, Penn, I'm your mother. Because I didn't expect her to be there. So when we go to parties or anything, I will usually have like Glenn or my wife. Glenn works for us. He's our press guy. Or my wife or somebody walking with me who'll say, oh, that's Clint Holmes. Oh, that's Siegfried. So that I don't look like a complete idiot. Because, I mean, I would have trouble, recognizing Mary Tyler Moore. You know, I mean, even people that you see a lot on TV, I have no way of recognizing them. It's just that I'm not thinking that much about that. I don't know how people describe faces. If you ask me, you can ask me about friends that I have, like if they have a beard or mustache or how their hair is. No idea at all. And my friend Renee French, who is a fabulous author, and if you don't have her books, you should get them. My friend Renee French, she has perfect recall for everyone's face and everything visual. And she can, this is astonishing, she can draw her entire kindergarten class, all their faces, from memory.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, she can really do that. She can really. You recognize people pretty quickly, don't you?
No. Well, yes, I recognize people. I don't remember anyone's names.
You don't remember anyone's name.
I have a different phobia.
I have actually, when I was on the road, 10 years ago or so, I have been known to have sex with somebody and then have them come back the next weekend, have them get off the plane and have no idea who I was waiting for. Stand there waiting for recognition. And if you don't, see, I have all these tricks. Like if you make eye contact with me or pay attention to me a little bit, I have this trick that says, I must know you. I must know you. So I'll figure it out in some way, But if you walk by me without any recognition, there'll be no recognition.
Well, I can help you on the airport thing. I've got an Ask Layperson Goudeau answer for you.
What's that?
Sit down and read a magazine. Do not look up. They will eventually
idea.
Come and talk to you. The person who's supposed to be there with you will go, Penn, and tap you
what
in some
really
way.
Good. That's what I do. When I'm coming off an airplane and someone's supposed to pick me up like for a gig or something, I just sit down and read and have them come to me because I just go crazy trying to look around airports. That's good. Of course, that's less true now because no one can get in, no one can meet you. So I guess it's easier now. I just wait in baggage claim, sit down, get a magazine, open it up. Like when my daughter flies up and comes back and I don't want to be caught not recognize my daughter. That's what I'll do. You got any other Gmails? You want to take a call?
I think I'm going to take a call.
Okay, let's take a call. Let's go to, is it Rand? Is that right, Rand?
Yes, it is, Dr. Penn. Good morning.
It's actually Layperson Penn, but go on, sir. What's up?
The other night, I live here in Las Vegas, and the other night I saw some rainbows. I saw one on the north side of town and looked over to the right, and I saw two next to each other on the south side of town. But the colors were opposite. And I was wondering if you could tell me why that is.
That question is so stupid, I'm going to let Michael Goudreau answer. I mean, it's so obvious why that would be that I'm holding myself for the really hard questions, the questions that, you know, take a little skill to answer. But this question is so simple, falling off a log. Take it, Michael Goudreau.
I don't think you can see one in more than one direction. I'm going to say right now that that the specific angles of the prismatic effect can only happen in a certain angle from the sun. So I can't imagine how you saw them in both directions.
Well, they were looked to be about 100 feet from each other. I'm not sure what the distance was. I'm sure it was further than that, but there was two on the south side of town and one on the north. And the two on the south side, their colors were opposite of each other. Instead of going green, blue, orange, red, one went green, blue, orange, red, and then it went orange, red, orange, blue, green, the opposite.
So you see, the sun always has to be behind you when you're seeing a rainbow. I've seen double rainbows over the top of each other.
Yeah, I've seen double rainbows.
I saw one at night once. A rainbow at night through a full moon and rain, and it was white. It was really cool.
Well, but I live on the west side of town. I was looking east, but then I looked to the north to see the one and to the south to see the other one, and there was two next to each other.
Well, that has to be a miracle then.
Well, two next to each other, we know you can see, right?
Two overlapping each other.
No, these were not overlapping. They were side by side. Of course, they were a ways apart.
It's possible. I guess it's possible that you're seeing a reflection off of two separate water sources. You know, if you were looking at a water source in the rain far away, and then somehow there was a sprinkler closer to you that was creating another, then you could possibly see two in different locations.
I live on the second floor, and this here was way up in the sky. It wasn't close to the ground.
Hmm? Okay, Goudreau, you can't handle this. I guess I have to take over, okay? A rainbow is an optical and meteorological phenomenon that causes a nearly continuous spectrum of light to appear in the sky when the sun shines under droplets of moisture in the Earth's atmosphere.
So we got
it
all
takes
that
the
part.
Form of a multicolored arc with red on the outside and violet on the inside. A double rainbow includes a second, fainter arc with colors in the opposite order. So if you see a double rainbow, they're going to be in the opposite order no matter what. And they're going to be red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo,
Roy
and
Roy G. Biv.
Yeah. You know that list? You have a mnemonic device for
that? Yeah, Roy G. Biv. Yeah.
But why couldn't...
And unlike planets, we're not going to lose any, I don't think. We voted out violet. Decided violet wasn't a good enough color.
Now, why did you have... isn't it possible that the sun could be bouncing off like a mountain or something and giving him that in the other?
I guess
that's... It was really goofy meteorologically yesterday. You know, it was just nuts here in town.
It was beautiful, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I saw a bunch of rainbows.
There's a lot of rainbows all over the place, I think. So I think that I gave this easy question to Michael Goudreau, and he couldn't cut it.
Sorry.
He just couldn't cut it.
I'm just not there for you.
Thanks a lot, Rand. You should have been able to handle the double rainbow question, don't you think?
No. He's asking me to defy the laws of physics. I love Randy. He's a fine person. I just have to question the circumstances.
Well, someone will call in. 866-570-PEN 7366.
It's not possible.
PENradio@gmail.com. If you hear this and you understand this whole thing, then give a call to PEN. Drop an email to PENradio@gmail.com and answer this rainbow question that Goudreau didn't seem to be able to handle. Let's take a call from... Let's talk to Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Dr. First Name.
I know. It's actually layperson first name, but go on.
All right. So how do you type with boxing gloves on your hands?
I would say you use voice recognition software.
Or a very big keyboard.
Well, standard keyboard, but I might be open to trick gloves.
Why do you want to type with boxing gloves on?
Well, mostly to ruin my favorite web cartoon, but also Well, also for a friend's Halloween costume, too.
For a friend's Halloween costume, you want to have boxing gloves you can type with?
Yeah.
I think that everybody's going to expect you using false gloves with like a false bottom out of it that you can type with.
But they have to look good, and if necessary, he has to be able to still punch things.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, just Velcro a flap on the bottom.
No, I say no. No. That's the direction you're going to go into. I would say you need to have someone else typing with a hidden keyboard. That seems with a wireless keyboard going into a laptop with a card into it, and just have somebody behind like a some sort of scrim or something that can hear you, or just put a mic on so you can have headphones and be in another room. Just bug yourself, and then anything that the person says that you should type, just hit your boxing gloves, roll them around on the keyboard, have your keyboard disabled, and have someone else typing it in. You want to move your real magic effect away from the supposed magical effect. The supposed magical effect is the gloves. Then your gloves are totally examinable. You can have them put on by other people. You can sit at your keyboard. Make sure that it's a laptop, which makes people much less likely to think of another keyboard, a remote keyboard. And I don't know the exact hack you'd put in, but if it's for Halloween, you got plenty of time. One of your goofball nerd ball friends will be able to do that, and I think you'll really, really fool people.
Right, and if I manage to figure out a way to do it for real, will I be able to win the James Randi $1 million prize?
I don't think that there's any sort of supernatural claim. Is your claim that you can manipulate boxing gloves from the inside? Because I don't think that's impossible or supernatural. So I don't think you win the prize. I think you should do it for fake, and I think it'd be really funny for Halloween. You've got to put a little bit of work in, and that's the thing people don't know about magic. The only trick in magic is that you are willing to work harder than other people think it's worth for what you're accomplishing. That's the whole trick.
Well, hacking, it's going to be easier than making custom gloves, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. Hacking is much easier than making custom gloves. And then, really, your whole job is just how well you conceal your accomplice.
Also, might I say, you were talking about your trouble with face recognition,
yeah.
And I sent you that Gmail earlier about social engineering, where you know how you answer, I say, how you doing, and you say...
Never better, boss.
Right, and thank you for not doubting me, whether I care, by the way.
Oh, good, thank you.
Yeah, but, and I figure, well, if you don't recognize faces and you have that, then, you know, somebody could easily pose as somebody who is at least higher in the chain of command in the casino, maybe a stage manager or something, and, you know, do some social engineering to gain... You know, sex, power, fame, not fame, but something, money maybe.
Anybody that's trying to gain sex and power with social engineering is fine with me. Gaining sex through social engineering is also called dating. Thanks so much for taking a break here. We'll be back with Past Layperson Penn, 866-570-PEN-7366. That's PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on Ask Layperson Penn on the free FM CBS radio, 866-570-PEN, that's 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com, sitting here with Michael Goudeau. What was the last question he was talking about? He was talking about social engineering to get power.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I like that guy. He's a good guy. He's called in, he's written in before.
He's written in a couple times,
before, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that kind of scammy thing. The boxing gloves thing is a good idea. And it brings to mind, I mean, that's a very important point I made. If anybody's listening and studying magic, that really is the trick to all of magic. You are willing to work harder than the person thinks the trick is worth. There are amazing things you can do with cards. So there's some stuff that if you see Mike Close, one of the best close-up people in the world, or Jamie Ian Swiss, who's also wonderful, or Eric Mead, who are about my three favorites, I guess. If you see any one of the three of them work, and you see them do these astonishing tricks with cards, you say, I have no idea how they did that. And yet... you could figure out exactly how they did that if you're willing to leave the option open that they worked hundreds of hours. You see the trick and you say to yourself, you know, I'd be willing to work a dozen hours to learn that trick, and there's no way that it's possible with a dozen hours. But with hundreds of hours, it's possible. When you come to the Rio and see the Penn and Teller show, and you see us do the bullet catch, you say, that seems really amazing. I can't think of any way they could do it. What you do not realize is that we worked 2.5 years on that trick. 2.5 years we worked on it. It's 6 minutes on stage, maybe longer, maybe 8 minutes on stage. So you think, well, it wouldn't be worth working 2.5 years on. And the answer is, it's not worth it to anybody but us. And you know that working with Lance.
Yep.
I mean, Lance is opening. Lance Burton's opening with the Birds.
Yeah.
The Birds
first
and the Spirits and so on. Yeah. Which he does with Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Yes.
That act is, I believe, the greatest 12 minutes in variety arts.
It is spectacular.
And what people don't realize is not only did he work for years and years on that, not only did he have the great Johnny Thompson, who works with Chris Angel, working on that all the time, but also he was doing, 2 shows a night, 7 days a week,
yep,
for years? So that becomes so much work and so hard, it becomes miraculous because you don't believe people are that desperate to work that hard to have a show. And that's the whole answer. I went to Starbucks the other day, and the woman behind the counter said, we saw you on the Chris Angel show. Do you know him? And I said, yeah. And they go, he's amazing. He can do all that stuff. He has real magic powers. And I went, what? They said, he has real magic powers. He goes just out into malls and does this stuff. And I said, well, it's tricks. It's a TV show. And they said, oh, no. He doesn't do tricks. And I went, yes, he does. And they said, how about when he reached through that black guy, reached through his chest and his hand came through? And I said, well, what you probably don't know is that black people have a hollow section in their middle. And the women I was talking to were African-American. And I said, no, he doesn't have magic powers. He's doing tricks. And they went, well, I can't figure it out. And I said, that doesn't make it impossible that you can't figure it out. The fact that you can't figure it out in 5 minutes, 2 minutes, does not mean it's impossible. I said, it's a trick. And they said, no, I think he has real magic powers. And I said, let me tell you a few things. There's no goddamn tooth fairy. That was your parents. There's no goddamn Santa Claus. There's no magic powers. Chris Angel is doing tricks. And I'm not giving anything up. Chris Angel will tell you that in a second. And then Jonesy says, he's going to be getting a cup of coffee. Jonesy says to her, if he had real magic powers, why would he be doing a stupid magic show on TV? And I said, yeah, the Nobel Prize just came out. Where's Chris Angel? You know, and we talked about, you know, why. You know, why isn't he cured AIDS? Why isn't any of this? He just, if you had real magical powers, if you could do anything in the world, real powers, would your first choice be to stick your arm through an African-American man?
No, I don't think so. No. I wouldn't be pulling birds out. I would not be producing more pigeons. I have the magic of the universe. Here's another pigeon.
Let's take a phone call. Let's talk to Tony. Hey, Tony, what's up, man?
Hey, Dr. Penn, how you doing?
It's actually Layperson Penn. I'm doing very well, boss. How are you?
Good, very good. Here's my question, and it's not really a question I would expect a full answer on, but it's something to ponder, and my stupid mind has been pondering it for a long time. Consider this. If you're American, I'm sorry, if you live in America, you're American. You live in Korea, you're Korean,
mm-hmm.
So forth and so on. In most circumstances, if you're from Holland, you're Dutch.
Yeah.
And it's stupid, but how many of those situations are there?
Well, this
I guess if you're from England, you're British. There's another one that I missed. But
yeah. Well, that's because England is the British Empire. What bothers me more, I'm going to take your little irritation and turn it into one of my big irritations. And my big irritation on this is when I toured Europe, I was very upset with the fact that they had the audacity to call Germany Deutschland. They were there calling it a different thing than I called it. And they called it was a Spaniel or something. It wasn't Spain. So you look at a map there, they've got our alphabet, and these goddamn cretins are calling their countries, like Brazil is Brasilia, right?
Our alphabet. So I'm going to start off with the basics here.
Okay.
Our alphabet.
Okay,
I'm just going to go with you on that. Yeah, our alphabet. Yeah.
My point is...
Weasels.
Let me put it the other way. Okay, let me put it back.
Let's go back to Randy Newman.
Why don't we have the respect for other countries to call them what they call themselves? How hard would it be to call them Deutschland? You know? Those rat bastards in Deutschland, why can't we say that? What's wrong with that? Why do we do that? Why would we have a word? You know, it goes back to the Inuit thing, right? Wasn't Eskimo was the word that the Indians up there gave them, meaning raw fish eater. The name that they use for themselves is Inuit. So why don't we call people what they call themselves? American, the USA.
They all call themselves the people.
Well, yes, originally they do, but over the past thousand years...
Dutch literally means the people.
Does it?
Yeah.
You just looked that up.
I did, yeah. No, not that smart. Yes, of course I knew that.
So Dutch means...
I checked it with our alphabet.
Dutch means the people.
The people.
The people.
They're
calling themselves the people.
Yeah.
So that's,
I believe that's what every nation does, except for us, really.
What about Deutschland?
Deutschland, yeah, that means the people.
But Deutschland, why don't we do that?
It's also from Dutch, though, so it does mean it. It means the people's land.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
It means people's land.
You seem stunned.
I'm totally speechless. You have gobsmacked me, sir.
The winner.
You have gobsmacked me.
I mean, gobsmacked you.
Deutschland means people land.
Land, people land.
So we have to give them other names. We're not all just saying.
Do you know what Volkswagen means?
It means people's car.
It does.
There you go.
Well, it means folks car. Or it would be Dutch wagon. Deutschwagen was a good name.
Deutschwagen is a good name. And, you know, I'm going to say this again. I just said it like just a few weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again. VW is no fewer syllables than Volkswagen. So don't think you're saving time by saying VW instead of Volkswagen. Do you have other examples of this, Tony?
You know what? I think over the past couple of years of thinking of this periodically, I did come up with something, but on the spot, I don't know. I'm really not sure. What about... Guam isn't a country.
Well, we are the USA, and we call ourselves Americans. And that's just as crazy, because we are not Americans. There's North America also has, and a lot of people don't know this, and there's no reason to know this, but on the North American continent, there's also a place called Canada. And although no one lives there, we don't care about them, there is another country there. So if you say, when they say what nationality are you, and you say American, it's possible that someone could think you're Canadian, and that would be a horrible tragedy. So I think you should say,
South American.
United States of America. And South America. And Central America.
Central America.
What about,
it's so confusing.
How many countries are there? Like none, right?
In South America?
Yeah. No, Central America.
Central America? How many countries are there?
Yeah.
Four.
Four. Yeah. So we don't even need Central America, really. We could just give them to South America.
Yeah, there are a lot of monkeys there. We should not leave it out.
We should. And they're all New World monkeys. Because this is the New World. So I think that we should call ourselves people. We're just people. And this brings me around to my big piece point, which I always like to make at the end of the show. I always like to give a bid for peace. Why don't we just use the term people for everyone in the world? I don't think we need the term Dutch. I don't think we need the word American. I don't think we need the word British. We still certainly need the word Iraqi. But that's that's a whole
that's
different
a temporary thing.
Everybody else, just people, people, people. Call ourselves all Inuits. That's all we got to do. The Inuits, the layperson Ben show, has all been worth it because of Tony and his questions. We should all be called the people. And what the hell is it with hyphenates either? I don't like African-American. I don't like Italian-American. I like American. But I'm going to jump right over that and just say, I like people. Let's just call ourselves people. That's the end of the whole thing. Tony, this got awfully kumbaya, you know? You called up with a question that could have given me an opportunity. I did trash Canadian. Okay, we need Canadians still. All the people and Canadians and Iraqis. But thank you so much, Tony, and I won't make you sing kumbaya. Thank you so much for calling. This is Ben Gillette, another Ask Layperson Ben show. Sitting here across from Michael Goudeau. Thanks so much. We'll be back next time. We're back on Free FM, CBS Radio. Man, that's a good sounding bass, isn't it?